Now we got the thumbs up.
We had a false flag, false alarm, I mean.
False start. Yeah.
Right.
We did not attack.
Those feds were saying, come on in, the water's fine. They were talking about the Capitol building, of course.
Right.
Yeah. You were going to do some product placement, and I...
Cherry Coke Zero. Yeah, it is quite delicious. I like it a lot.
I didn't know they made a zero flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, shit. We're supposed to talk about politics right away, so people don't click off the video.
But this is what you want.
I kind of want to try that, but first I want to try... Graham Plattner as a news subject.
Okay.
Lots has gone wrong for him since last we spoke, you and I. He is being Me Too'd, sort of, by a past girlfriends who talked to the New York Times in this big piece that came out last week that has managed to piss everybody off because... Republicans have decided that because it doesn't literally accuse him of sexual assault, the most serious accusation is kind of rough with this ex-girlfriend. She is a Republican political activist. We know people who know her. You, I think, know her. We don't want to get into, you know, we've got to keep it objective as journalists.
Okay, right. Whatever past disagreements.
Okay, we won't go there. Anyway, and then he's accused by other ex-girlfriends of kind of toxic relationship, whatever. Yeah. He said no physical violence. He never, you know, kind of grabbed her by the shoulder, twisted her arm, pushed her in a room. That's what she says he did. Yeah. Not sexual assault.
Yeah.
She says, New York Times said, or she found out there are other people who would accuse him of sexual assault. And New York Times did a bad job with her story because it didn't validate any of that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Democrats say... well, not all Democrats, because some of them didn't really like this guy to begin with.
Yeah.
But left, he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Plattner is one of their people. Mm-hmm. So they're circling the wagons. They're like, this is a fake smear job by a Zionist. You know, of course, it's got to be Israel behind it, et cetera. Many of whom, you know, did I Believe Women for Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
This includes,
sure,
I was listing some of them. Ro Khanna, Ed Markley. The progressive commentary, you know, Kyle Kulinski, little freak, people of that, and Emma Vigeland, those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not surprising. A lot of hypocrisy here.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Is the hypocrisy, is this just the nature of it's a Democrat being accused now? Or is it that times have changed and therefore Me Too accusations that would have carried much greater weight in 2017, 2019, no longer do?
Times have changed.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the old standard of everyone who makes an accusation of sexual misconduct should automatically be believed. That's what activists sincerely thought.
Yeah.
People, now we go, oh, that's crazy. Nobody actually thought that. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They absolutely thought that. And they pressured leaders of the Democratic Party and the mainstream media to adopt that as their outlook. That happened. It happened, folks. Go back. It happened. It was crazy. But now we're not doing that because that's idiotic.
Yeah.
Because people lie or just misremember things. And I don't mean like women and men lie. And like everyone lies to make themselves seem more the victims of things that have shaped their lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, surely not spiteful ex-girlfriends. They wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Well,
do right, that,
not even. But... Well, that's my point. Not even everyone lies like on purpose or spitefully.
You just misremember things.
You just misremember things in a way that positions you
to look like a victim or to be the better of,
right,
to be the better person.
Right.
Yeah.
We all, when you tell the story of something that went wrong, you know, you lose your job.
Yeah.
Right? You tell that story, even if initially it's like, well, I was slacking off at work.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth, sixth time you tell that story a couple months from now, you were the, you know, that corporation just didn't get you, man. It's so common.
Yeah.
We just don't see that.
Right.
Or you embellish things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like eyewitness testimony is unreliable.
Right.
Because people embellish details
to
make themselves more relevant to the story. I'm going on and on. You know what I'm saying? I'm right.
Yes, humans are fallible and are not always truthful.
Yeah.
And memory is fallible even when there's no malicious intent.
Memory is a liar.
Yeah.
Liar.
It's all fake. Yeah. You're swimming in a sea of uncertainty, you know, about what comes before and what comes after.
That's right. And what comes now?
Ooh.
What is happening? let's contemplate our failure to grapple with the events we are witnessing and living through.
The enormity of the events of this main Senate race. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess just like, yeah.
Look, if I loved this guy, if I thought he was the greatest thing ever,
you would be motivated to defend
him. Then I would just say, you know what? I don't know what happened and I'm not changing my mind because this is more important than that. Since I don't like him anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't want, as we said last week, no socialists can win.
No
ever,
socialists
is my standpoint.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I am kind of, I don't know, this is maybe a bad thing to admit. I do enjoy the slow roll of scandals to afflict this guy. Particularly because like much of what's
you
in
know
this,
there will be more.
Yes, there will continue to be
there
more.
There will certainly be more.
Yeah, I don't believe Lindsay Feifeld's accusation that this was a soft catch-and-kill operation is what she alleged, which was insane, right? This idea that the New York Times spent... I mean, that was a long article, right?
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of time to elaborately report her accusations against Graham Plattner and then drop the ball on more credible stories, or maybe they're still reporting those out, or maybe they're not actually that credible after all and they didn't run with them.
Right.
You know?
And also to say that it was like it was too favorable to Graham, like
it was not
the Plattner
made him
campaign
look like a complete
is not happy this came out.
Yeah.
This has been maybe if not devastating just because of the partisan nature of the reality we live in, this will lower the number of votes he gets. In fact, the kinds of people he needs to vote for him, like he needs Democratic people thousands of people who voted for Joe Biden, but voted for Susan Collins in 2020.
Yeah.
He needs them to jump ship from Susan Collins, vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's stories like this that will kill him, crucify him with those voters. So
I
don't want to hear from anyone that this was, they made it into a nothing, it was significant and the New York Times made it into a nothing burger. No.
No, he comes across as a gigantic weirdo.
Also,
right?
They did pelt him, frankly, with some of those annoying accusations that no one can possibly defend. Mm. There's a line about that he was in relationships that some people described as emotionally wrenching. No human being I submit to you on Earth can properly defend themselves from the accusation that they were involved in an emotionally wrenching relationship. Because it is purely subjective and vibes-based.
Yeah.
So I actually don't like to see that stuff.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
But he's admitted he was a belligerent, toxic, drunken asshole previously.
Yeah.
And this is more evidence that he is, that these are the accounts of people who are saying he's a belligerent, drunken asshole, including one person saying he's belligerent, drunken, violent asshole. Mm. They got him dead to rights on that tattoo. He totally knew what it was.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew what it was when he got it, but he knew what it was
afterward,
over the course of 20 years.
He just didn't
years.
Care.
Didn't
care. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Didn't care because he just didn't decide to be a political figure until 5 seconds ago.
Right. He wasn't ready for the prime time.
No.
And progressives, the problem is, there's been a long, because all his scandals have been so slow rolled, right? Like, progressives have had a long time to find someone else in the state of Maine to represent their cause. And
It's too late now.
It's much too late.
Yesterday, today when we're recording this, but by the time this airs, it will be too late because it's the primary. And Janet Mills is still on the ballot, but she's kind of withdrew whatever. She did withdraw. So her name's still on the ballot. They could vote for it. They won't.
I guess it is, if there were other accusations of sexual assault that the New York Times didn't find credible and therefore didn't report, that would be an increase in journalistic standards from the very low point of the Kavanaugh hearings. I don't remember if you recall. So there was the first accusation, right? And then there was a series of additional
Swetnick
ones.
Swetnick and Deborah Ramirez.
Yes,
the other
that got
names.
Increasingly
right, and I only
ridiculous.
Remember what these names are because I was reviewing a Ro Khanna tweet from the time where he said, I believe Deborah Ramirez, I believe Julie Swetnick, I believe Blasey Ford. Kavanaugh must resign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or withdraw.
Or really withdraw from
the thing. Yeah, and they got increasingly ridiculous and thin as the accusations piled in. But it was the Times and everyone else was happy to report on them and detail them and profile the accusers.
Right, they went looking for anyone who'd had any kind of negative interaction with Kavanaugh. That was insane, that series of events.
Yeah.
Again, he has and look, Christine Blasey Ford, whatever, she makes these claims. And it's just, there's no There's no way to corroborate something that happened. It was like 25 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There was no way to corroborate that they had ever actually even met.
Right.
Yeah. Like, compared to this, they did date.
She shared a lot of text messages and right. diary entries, the gold standard of journalistic sourcing.
Right. So
a diary entry.
Again, and I'm fine to maintain a healthy sort of skepticism. It is true that she's a Republican activist.
Yeah.
But, you know, Blasey Ford was clearly a Democratic motivated person.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I don't know how you can believe that and just totally discard this. Right. And they're similar, like, that was like kind of sexual groping yeah. of during adolescence.
Yeah.
This was not sexual violence, was a kind of roughness you shouldn't do
yeah.
In adulthood. They're kind of similar-ish.
Yeah.
It's not obvious one's more serious to me than the other.
Yeah.
They're kind of, you know, mm-hmm. on the same.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Are they disqualifying? Well,
well, that's for the voters to decide.
That's for the voters to decide.
Socialism is disqualifying.
Yes.
That's
and
what
so
I, that's
therefore
my
they
view.
Should not vote
that's
for him,
my
right?
View.
I mean, that's a violence all its own.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that we so often are litigating this kind of behavior and mm-hmm. what the proper sanction should be and what the right levels of evidence should be in the worst possible arena, which is one where everyone is partisanly motivated to
right.
support or or oppose someone, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's actually very unfortunate that we have to sort out all these norms for public figures running for
right.
office, right? Because, yeah, it's just...
Right. Meanwhile, the Republican Party is defending Ken Paxton, who's accused of financial crimes.
Yeah.
Like, very clinically
yeah,
accused right. of financial
yeah.
crimes.
Yeah.
Which I could see an argument should be more disqualifying.
As someone who's going to be, like, voting on things.
Right. As yeah. going to be a politician who, like, takes money and takes my money and votes on how much of my money gets taken. I
yeah.
would rather not...
Than be,
you know,
financially corrupt.
Right. I guess they theoretically vote on how much violence we endure.
Yeah.
So maybe it's similar, but.
And if that's the case, then you want a fighter.
Right.
So,
yeah. Maine wants a fighter.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do we have, I guess we have the DC mayor's election. I'm just trying to think of like other primaries.
Is that happening tonight?
Up. No, it's not tonight. It's
not tonight,
next
think.
Week. Next
Last,
week.
Right.
Yeah. Have you voted? Do you vote in the local elections?
I am registered as a libertarian.
Okay.
So
well,
it's
a non.
I can, oh, I
sure
can
it's a
vote
non,
in this?
I'm pretty sure it's a nonpartisan primary, right?
Well, then I'll fill out the 18 mail-in ballots I get.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, Cesar Rodriguez voted three times for Chase Oliver in the election because I kept getting the previous tenants' fucking ballots in the mail over and over again. That's my... Okay, there's no widespread fraud, fine.
It's a huge fraud risk to just be...
I don't know, just mailing ballots to everyone is not... I mean, this is what they're finding out in California. And again, I don't think... Like, it's not a surprise. Spencer Pratt, we can transition to this.
Yeah, please.
He's not going to be in the runoffs, apparently. Conservatives really mad about that. It should not be... Look, he is a Republican Trump supporter in a deeply blue city.
And also a gadfly... Guy who
right.
reality TV star who came out of nowhere.
Right. I understand that you know, based MAGA mom who lives in Arkansas, in
yeah.
rural Arkansas, loved his AI video where he was Batman beating up Joker Karen Bat. Like, I love that you loved that.
Yeah.
But that's not voters necessarily in LA that are being motivated by that. That said, it's certainly not. Nobody likes watching all these ballots stream in over days. Now, it could be the Democrats just, they mail in their ballots, and
mm-hmm.
Trump told all his voters, show up and vote in person. So it's a nature of the process, but looks crooked, Christian.
Yeah, I mean, California has brought this on itself by taking forever
right.
to count ballots.
Why does California exist? It should not exist.
Yeah.
It should be many different states.
I agree. I agree. I think everyone would be happier that way.
Yeah.
Right?
It's too big.
Yeah. Well, so they would get more senators, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a pretty clear cultural divide between North and South
yeah.
and also between like rural hinterlands
right.
and liberal coastal areas.
Right.
It would be interesting to see which one is more misgoverned once
yeah.
we split it up, right?
The California war begins.
Yeah, it's like the Spider-Man meme. They're always
yeah.
accusing, you know,
yeah.
SoCal or the Bay of being the real bad ones. So it would be interesting to see that. It is too big. But even if you're a large state, you can do this competently. Like Florida used to be terrible at counting ballots. Now they're really good.
Right. Because we got really mad at them. Because they ruined the presidential election. They ruined it.
They did.
Yeah. We've only done this, what, like 47 times?
Yeah.
And they ruined it so badly. People memory hole how badly the state of Florida ruined that election for everyone.
Yeah.
Because they just held an invalid election.
Yeah.
They printed ballots that didn't make any sense and caused people to vote for the wrong person.
Right.
And there's no way to fix that.
Right.
And they fucked it up so badly.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that stupid, it's not even the Chads, it's that butterfly ballot.
Mm-hmm.
You seen that ballot?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Whoever made that ballot should be
in prison.
We shouldn't say violent things for YouTube, but they should,
They should feel bad about themselves.
They should feel really,
I hope they have an
emotionally wrenching relationship. I hope they're in a relationship that is described as wrenching.
We're going to describe it right now. Yeah. The person who invented that ballot is in an emotionally wrenching relationship.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can say about it. Yeah, so California takes forever to count ballots, which looks very awkward then when one candidate who looks like they're winning.
Totes awkward. Loses.
Yeah. Of course, people are going to flip out about that, right? Yeah.
And then so, secondly, that just happened. Some weird millennial cringe.
Yeah, it's really pissing me off.
Awful.
It's really pissing me off the way people talk these days.
Yes.
You know?
Let's get, the way people talk.
Yeah.
And dress and, the color of their skin probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's all fine.
That's
most of them.
Nazism.
Yeah. But then also they allow ballot harvesting too, which is a huge invitation for fraud, right? Are you familiar with what ballot harvesting is?
Tell me.
It's where. So
no,
it's,
I am, but tell me anyway.
Okay, sure. We'll pretend for that. Yeah. It's when you can turn in someone else's ballot for them, mail-in ballot, right? And so,
wait, let me be like a Tucker as you explain it. Huh?
Yeah.
Really?
That's correct, Tucker.
So what you're saying is,
and no journalist has ever asked you about that.
Wow.
I just think if I was a journalist, I would want to know that they're committing fraud.
But it's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal because for two reasons, right? So one is, and this often happens, activists will go to someone's house and be, people have been posting the DSA, like, door knocking guide, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, have you got your ballot? Okay, great. Well, let's fill it out together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you like this candidate? Well, that means you're going to want to vote for this person, mm-hmm. and this person. And why don't you give me your ballot and I can turn it in for you, right? So that's kind of the ballot harvesting move, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can also imagine, I'm not
Is choosing... that Fox News I hear on in the household? Oopsies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So you could toss ballots if you wanted to. Or you could just do, if someone says like, oh, I'm voting for the mayor, I don't care about those races, here's my ballot, turn it in for me. Yeah. Obviously I wouldn't accuse a power hungry socialist activist
Never.
Of, doing anything untoward, but who knows? So
All
California
right.
does have a problem with this, yeah.
All right, I've had enough of this already. The way people
speak. Sorry for boring.
The way people speak, what's wrong with it?
It's way too casual and like
Where's the sir and madam?
Everyone is.
Why don't you take off your hat when you see a woman?
It's a little too performative, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, sure. We should be doffing our caps to our betters
M'lady.
Or whatever, right?
M'lady.
Yeah.
Madam.
I don't know. Everything has to be X-maxing, right?
Oh, you don't like X-maxing.
No, and I think I just find it completely. That's just an example mm-hmm. that comes to mind. But I also find it completely unbecoming of like policy experts to be
to
like
calling everything.
Oh,
retarded.
New York just went and did what?
Yeah.
No, just say what they did. You're you're a professional. You're supposed to be a wonk. I'm supposed to trust you, and you're talking like a radio DJ or a rapper or some sort of teenager.
I'm looking at my latest Twitter mentions, and there's someone who's just like, he's a lying leftist cuckold POS.
Who said that? Sorry about that. I can't remember who I was saying that to.
Yeah, there's too much. I mean, I've complained in the past that there's just a little bit too much racism everywhere now, and sexism, and just like, again, everything is retarded.
Yeah.
Can you like save that word a little bit more?
Use it a little more sparingly.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. more. It's a more beautiful expression of creativity. There's a burst of creative energy when you can't overuse it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
They're highlighting everything.
Yeah, everything is just it's a little too
colloquial. I kind of like maxing as a thing though.
It has a little, it has some utility. I get that. But again, just everything is so slang heavy, right? Like, I don't know if there's actually any technical measure for
this.
You're
just getting old, my friend.
No.
You're joining me in old man club.
No, I know that's not true because people our age or my age are doing this too, you know? They're talking this way too, in public, online, under their own names, you know?
What I love about the maxing thing is that it's so unnecessary some of the time. Like, I remember reading the clavicular profile, which, I mean, clavicular profile 1 of 8,000. Remember that, like, 2 week period where he was the main character and people cared what this utterly empty shell of a human being had to say? And he had nothing
real
to
life
say, as
Patrick
it turned
Bateman.
out. He said something about, okay, guys, we're gonna go to the they're going to go to the second story of the mall. And he's like, we're second floor maxing. I loved it. So unnecessary. It was great.
I mean, I find it, I can laugh because it's ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's also the more ubiquitous it becomes, the more annoying it is. And the more serious, allegedly serious people use it to describe everything.
Everything is low key now.
Yeah, this those are the two. Sus. Yeah, it's everything is low key or it's maxing, right? Yeah. That's all we got.
It's extremes.
That's all
we live
got.
In an age of extremes.
Yeah, well, it's because everything is a blur, right? And so we try to sort through that with extreme slang.
I see.
But it doesn't provide any texture, any understanding of where we've been and where we're going.
We don't know where we're going.
No.
We don't know where we are.
Yeah.
We are lost.
Truly.
I was reading Matt Iglesias this morning on response to an Atlantic article about from some philosopher about what it would take to for him to be convinced the AI is alive, is actually an artificial intelligence. And Matt Iglesias had an interesting response that, like, this is not, you don't actually have a definition for what our intelligence is, like, what gives us aware consciousness. So if you can't define consciousness in the first place, you'll never be able to explain whether it has it or not. And again, I'm on the extreme side of it doesn't have consciousness and won't in all likelihood. But at some point, you almost maybe do need just a religious explanation for why it's not consciousness.
I guess that's
the shortcut.
I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean,
it's not conscious because it doesn't have a soul.
Right. It's a machine is just fundamentally not a human.
And you could trick it. You could make it seem so human, but you can't make it have a soul.
Right. And I mean, it's much more difficult for people who see human minds as
just computers.
Just computers, basically. Right.
Right. Because if we're just our electrons firing. I mean, our electrons are firing, but that's creating
some more than others.
It's creating a totality of experiences that makes you. And the computer is just not doing that.
Right.
It's not. And
it's
I don't know what to say. It's just not. It's a cheap copy.
Correct.
Artificial.
Yeah.
Like this world we live in. Like, oh, this is something I definitely wanted to talk about. I saw that movie. Did you see it? Backrooms that I was talking about.
No, you said it made you're never going to sleep again.
Oh, my God. People, go see this movie. It was great. I won't call it like the best movie I've ever seen. It's not like a perfect movie, but it is very good. It is very scary. Well, and then someone who else saw it was like, well, wasn't that scary? I'm like, okay, what is scary then? I don't know. Like, we're human adults. Like, I'm not actually afraid of things I see in movies and entertainment. But, like, what do you describe as a scary movie? I don't know. Yeah. I think on any realistic, like, scale of what is scary in entertainment, this is pretty scary.
What is the premise?
Okay. So he discovers this room. I'll try not to spoil too much of it. He discovers this space. And the main character is like a furniture store salesman. And he finds like a storage space that just goes on and on and on.
Oh, wow. He's backroom maxing.
Correct. He's backroom maxing. And the space, the movie is so much just very little dialogue for long stretches of time. Literally just him walking through the space, sometimes with a camcorder recording the space.
Oh.
And you don't hear any dialogue. Because there's, you know, every now and then I'll go like, what is this? Well, oh my God. What you hear is the hum of the fluorescent lights above him. these creepy footsteps or doors shutting as if there's someone else there, but there's not. And then there's, and then the space doesn't make sense eventually. Like there will be a chair, like mm-hmm. an office desk chair that's half sunken into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a door on the ceiling that just goes on and on and on. Then he's not in a room. Then he's in a room that looks like the outdoors, but it's with like fake grass or something.
Uh-huh.
It's sinister. It's malevolent.
I'm getting a little creeped out by you just describing this.
It's so great. Okay. And then, of course, there are things in it.
Ooh.
Very good. But, and because it's so abstract mm-hmm. or so quiet,
mm-hmm.
it allows itself for a lot of interpretations mm-hmm. about what it's supposed to be, what it's trying to say
mm-hmm.
in a good way. So mm-hmm. a lot of people interpret it as, you know, it takes place in the 90s. It's made by someone who's actually only 20 years old.
Huh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, wow. 20-year-old
kid.
Didn't even see the 90s.
Right. And it's almost like a longing for an era, the era of, because it looks like a mall or an office space mm-hmm. or something, like it's an abandoned structure you would explore.
Mm.
Like that longing for exploration that we all kind of used to do when mm. kids had more free-range kids type
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
type freedom. Just, hey, I'm going to the mall with my friends, or hey, we're going to go explore. We're just out exploring and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It captures some of the longing for that.
Hmm.
Or I actually read it as a little bit of a criticism of AI because the space is doing a lot of, is basically trying to copy reality.
Mm,
it's trying to copy and it's
making mistakes.
It's fucking it up.
Mm.
And the flaws are obvious and malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
And I read him as trying to say, the creator, that AI can't replace what filmmakers do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not heavy. There's no heavy-handed message. You can just read a lot into it. It's great.
So there's no real dialogue in the movie.
No, there is dialogue. There is dialogue. Yeah. There's long stretches of, like, he's got a psychiatrist and she eventually comes into the space and he gets some kids, some employees of his to record things in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a plot to what happens.
Yeah, okay.
It's just there are long periods of time mm-hmm. with no talking
yeah.
where you just kind of sit and marvel in wonder and mm-hmm. excitement and then eventually horror at what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some jump scares with the encountering of other things.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
I'm sold.
I don't go see movies often, but I saw it by myself the other night and it was great.
Damn. Okay. I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'll go see it by myself.
Yeah. I saw a lot of other things
too.
Do
kids not explore places?
I don't
want to
be like
anymore.
Kids these days. They're not getting lost in an extra dimensional universe thing.
Yeah.
But no, kids are, we know from our colleague Lenore Skenazy and even some of the things that Jonathan Haidt, who critical of in terms of some of his solutions, but young people are less likely to get driver's licenses so they can go hang out with friends. They don't go out and hang out with friends. They're just talking to their friends all the time on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
There's less unstructured, just you would go over to your friend's house and just play video games and then ride bikes around the neighborhood. I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. I know this is still happening.
Yeah, but less so.
But
I mean, you of course imagine some substitution of real life for virtual.
Yeah. I mean, the massive closing off of extracurricular activities that took place during COVID for young people.
Yeah. Well, you think that would. Yeah, this is what I was always curious about, where it's like, you don't have to show up to school,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not doing any extracurricular activities, so do you just get to, like, fuck around then? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we grew up in, a better time, right?
Yes.
We did a lot of as children, I'm sure. Well, you'll have to tell me, but, like, a lot of exploring the suburban environs in which we...
100%, of course.
A lot of biking around to strange neighborhoods.
Lots of biking.
Empty parking lots.
We biked everywhere.
And setting fires behind dumpsters or whatever else, you know, teenage boys.
And there was And there was no automatic way for your parents or your relevant authority figures to track you at all times either. It'd be like, hey, I'm going over to Zach's house. Are you? And your parents would say, come back for dinner. Or, oh no, I'm going to get dinner there. Okay. And expectation that you're back before
mm-hmm.
10 p.m. or midnight mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But there's no, people don't know where you are at all time, which actually, which strikes people today as reckless and dangerous.
But it was just how
but
it was.
But mm-hmm. it was not particularly dangerous.
You had a particular, I mean, this was ending right as I was, in my later teen years, right? I mean, obviously you're a little bit older than I am. I mean, I got my first cell phone when I was, what, like 15, 14? Yeah. So that's when it starts to go away. But I mean, even then, it was a dumb phone. There was no, you know, location sharing or anything like that. Not that I ever did, but I could, in fact, lie about my whereabouts if asked, right?
I learned about, I didn't even know about, like, location sharing until recently when I started dating my now husband, and he was like, "Oh yeah, turn on location sharing so I know where you are." And I'm like, "Oh, that I feel very tracked and surveilled by that." I had to ask Emma. I'm like, "Is this something young people do? You just let everyone, you know, that your friends and everybody just knows where you are at all times?" I feel a little uncomfortable about that as a libertarian, but Emma said that's what everyone does. Yes, so then I followed suit.
Okay. Yeah.
I always forget that I have this ability. I'll be like, "Where did he run off to?"
Oh, and you can just look it up.
And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I literally know where he is."
Yeah, no, I don't really like that at all.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I don't share my location with anyone as far as I'm aware. You know what's the real power move? Is when someone offers, like, you know, in the settings, they're like, "This person wants to share their location with you," and you just reject it. It's like, I don't care.
I mean, it's a real, it makes it harder to lie about where you are.
I guess, yeah,
you're
sure.
You're like, "Oh, so okay, sorry I'm running late, but I'm on my way to your place." They're like, "Oh, really? It seems like you're still in your apartment, Robbie."
I feel like we need to know a little less about each other in these circumspects. Yeah. Okay, well, that sounds like an excellent movie. I'll have to watch it. Speaking of exploring and going places, I watched a really good movie too.
Oh.
It's called Sorcerer. And it's by the there is in fact no sorcerer.
Magic.
No, there's no magic.
Ooh.
It's not stupid like that. although I can understand why you'd say that, because it's from the same director as The Exorcist, which I have not seen, or The French Connection, which I have. Have you seen either of those movies?
No.
Wow. Okay.
No.
This description really does not do it justice, because it is like an excellent, like, slow-paced 70s movie with just like shot after shot of the
70s movie.
Yeah, 77 is when it came out. And it's just, it's beautiful and it's incredibly tense. But it's about, the plot sounds a lot dumber than the movie actually is, but it's basically like four guys who are on the run from the law for various reasons wind up in a Bolivian mountain town. And then they get tasked with carrying like this volatile, about to explode any second, dynamite to this oil well that has exploded and is on fire. And so they have to go blow it up and cap it, right? And in order to do that, they have to travel through like the Bolivian desert and jungle. And there's a particularly intense scene where they're going across a like swinging rope bridge in these gigantic trucks, right? Where like the engines are always failing. So it is just like, and it's because it's a 70s movie, it's just incredibly slow, right? Even the, like these very tense scenes, it's like the getting across the bridge must have been like 15 minutes, right? Of just like, just tension on the edge of your seat. So it was very good. I really recommend it. It makes me, I mean, I guess we're getting back to it given some of the big blockbusters lately have been like 3.5-hour, 4-hour long movies, but just that very slow pacing, you know. So it's a good 70s movie, right? You spend like an hour of foregrounding and introduction. So I would highly recommend it. Sorcerer.
Yeah, and another thing, so this Backrooms movie is doing well, so is Obsession, which is a movie that's out right now that I haven't seen and don't know anything about, but it's doing really well. There was all, it was made on like a $700,000 budget. So like smaller or like not well-known filmmakers making things that are really resonating at a time when like Mandalorian and Grogu, the latest Star Wars slop, just fell completely flat is satisfying. Man, has any intellectual property ever been mismanaged as badly as Star Wars? They wish they could go back and erase everything they've done since they acquired it from George Lucas, I bet, unless they're idiots.
Yeah.
It would be better if none of it existed.
Yeah.
Because they've ruined it so thoroughly. I'm such a Star Wars fan. I have no interest in seeing this movie.
Wow.
Maybe I'll see it if it comes out on Disney Plus. I certainly will go to the theaters and see it. If it comes out on Disney Plus, maybe
I'll try to
watch
it. You think nothing is redeemable that has come out post
prequels? Some things are better than others, but overall it would be better if it did not exist.
Wow.
The sequel trilogy, it would certainly be better if it did not exist. The first season of The Mandalorian is good-ish. It's not good enough to redeem the whole concept.
I agree. I didn't hate the series, The Mandalorian, but
no, I didn't hate it at all. But
it was fine. But it also didn't really grasp me either. No. You know, what is the point?
I mean, Andor is great. The biggest loss would be Andor, the two seasons of which are absolutely terrific.
Yeah.
But these things all just don't fit together anymore.
Right.
Like Andor is a very serious political espionage thriller. Mandalorian feels totally different from that, frankly.
Yeah.
And then the sequel series doesn't follow logically from any of the things that happen in any of the other products.
Yeah.
So it's like so all over the place.
Okay, so let me ask you two questions about Andor, because that is kind of agreed that it is the best of the Star Wars products. It's fantastic. It is also just an excellent show by itself, right? Yeah. Would it have been, and I've only seen most of the first season. Mm-hmm. I understand the second season is supposed to be like spectacular.
It's spectacular.
I'm in that frustrating position with a piece of media where I half remember what I've seen, but need to remember all of it before I go on to the next thing that's supposed to be even better, right? And so it's always just that question of like, do I want to restart this thing in order to move on to something better? But I will eventually do it. But okay, so two questions about Andor. Mm-hmm. One, would it have been better if it were not associated with Star Wars whatsoever? Would it have benefited from that?
That's a great question. It certainly doesn't necessarily need to, but I don't think it would be better if it was totally disassociated from Star Wars.
Really?
No. My answer to that is no.
Why?
You're right that it doesn't necessarily and at all times need to, right? There's very little of the Jedi. No Darth Vader don't ever show up. I mean, they do refer to the Emperor and his presence, and the presence of the Death Star is very important to the show. But it could have just been any giant planet-killing weapon. It adds some relevance and some, you have some automatic investment in it because it's about the effort to grow the rebellion and then eventually learn about the Death Star and stop it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you do have some investment in that from seeing what the Death Star is capable of in the original Star Wars, I think adds some weight to it. So I actually think it benefits from being a Star Wars thing.
Okay.
For that reason.
Yeah.
The what happens with Mon Mothma, the a political leader of the rebellion, and she's in the Senate, and what she's doing to oppose them, and the speech she gives, it has more resonance because it's connected to things we know from Star Wars. So
okay.
I don't think it should be disassociated from Star Wars. No, I don't think that.
Are there things where you feel like the show suffers because it has to incorporate certain elements of Star Wars otherwise?
Not really within the show. It's just they have the problem of like they're building this rebellion and they're showing how it plausibly comes to be and all the important characters.
Plot line is just destroyed by the
They don't understand that the villain that they're actually up against is an occult magic user who will die at the hands of a good wizard.
Yeah.
Right? They don't know that the scope of their story is actually Voldemort versus Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like they don't know they're in Voldemort versus Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so but it's not within the show, that doesn't matter because they don't depict that. But
this,
their little squabble, you know, a guy with magic powers is going to shoot a beam at that, shoot a gun at that thing and blow it up because he's guided by supernatural powers that you people don't really know about.
Right. And so therefore their rebellion in some ways doesn't.
And you're up against a malignant force you can't possibly defeat without that person.
Right.
It is prophesied that Vader will overthrow, you know, it's deeply tied into mysticism and lore that you don't understand and are not covering. So lucky for you, there is that, or else your whole thing would have failed.
That's funny. And I guess like that in that way, the universe being connected, it does maybe, I mean, this doesn't have to, but if you're someone who's a completionist, does kind of cheapen the world maybe, because it's like, oh, they'll destroy the Empire, but then the First Order will just blow up a bunch of random planets.
That's the ultimate, right? You can salvage all of that because a rebellion has multiple elements, right? Mm-hmm. The people who get the plans for it are important, even if they all get killed off and have to sacrifice themselves and to make the hero's journey possible. It's not like it's totally contradictory, but the ultimate problem is
they
easily rebuild the Death Star in the original movies.
Yeah.
And then in the sequel series, they have an even more amazing power destroying everything.
Weapon.
And also, where did they come from?
Right.
The First Order. Suddenly, the Empire-type people are back stronger than ever.
Right.
They don't really seem
diminished.
Like that in the... But then in the middle, in the Mandalorian thing, all the things they're putting on the television shows, it doesn't, they're not giving any reason why all of a sudden First Order's back. I think I've complained about this before, so I'll stop complaining about it now. But okay. It's a problem.
Yeah, I remember going to see the first movie of the sequel trilogy and thinking, this isn't good, but everyone was also kind of breathing a sigh of relief, given that they didn't want the movie to fail in the same way the prequels had, which is like, this is just kind of like too strange and incoherent.
I mean, it had good visuals, which I kind of liked about it. It had some striking visual elements.
But it was a dumber retread of the first movie, right? But that's kind of what people were like, okay, we can
I think that movie would have been fine if it was followed up by two movies that made that had better plots and made more sense and fleshed out what they were trying to do. Yeah. I think it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But it was followed by movies that were insultingly bad and stupid and dumb in actually completely contradictory ways. It was followed by a movie that subverted Star Wars for the sake of subverting it. And great. You subverted it. You're right. I wanted one thing and you gave me something I didn't want. You did a great job of not giving me what I wanted. Right. I don't know why you thought that would please me. Mm-hmm. And then they followed it with slop, with just fan service slop that made absolutely no sense. And followed
the restaurant didn't get your order wrong. It subverted your expectations.
Right. Yeah. And then the third one is like when I said, okay, well, I want chocolate ice cream forever. And they gave me chocolate ice cream forever. I didn't mean that. I actually wanted that.
That's too much chocolate ice cream, man.
Speaking of occult religions, you wanted to say something about Mormonism?
I'm kidding
to our Mormon friends who were maligned by some list that Mike Lee was mad about.
Yeah, did you not follow this?
I didn't follow it at all.
Okay, wow.
Lay it on me.
Oh boy, so I got to catch you up.
Hit me.
Yeah, I did find it, again, no offense to our Mormon listeners.
We love our Mormon listeners.
I did find Mike Lee's crash out about this quite amusing.
Why is that?
Okay, so the Defense Department tracks soldier or service members religions, right, so that it can provide them with the chaplains they need, right? So your unit's got 60 Protestants and 40 Catholics, well, we got to send you a priest and a pastor, right? You have three
priest
Muslims.
And a pastor walk into a military
sounds like, and they find Mike Lee melting in front of them. Okay, but so the military had acquired a long list of 200 different denominations, right, and religions. The argument from Pete Hegseth's DOD or DOW, forgive me, was
fucking guy.
This list is too long, in like both because there's some of these categories which are like neo-Wiccan that no one uses, right? So like, let's get that off the list, and then secondly, there's just a lot of like, if you're I'm making up denominations because I really don't understand Protestantism, but like if you're a Reformed Baptist and a Southern Baptist, like you can both see the same pastor.
They took Mormon off this list?
No. So they did not take Mormon off the list, right?
That would be truly insane.
They collapsed the categories from 200 to 30 or 31, right? And then there's some arguments about, they took Wicca off the list or whatever. And so military.com interviewed a anonymous Wicca pastor who used to be in the military and goes by they them pronouns how this is crushing freedom of religion. But so that was one element of scandal, but the other is they denoted, so they have a bunch of Christian denominations on there.
They put Mormon in the other category.
Yes, they did not. They labeled a lot of Protestants and Catholics as Christian and then did not label the Mormons as Christian.
Oh.
And that's what caused Mike Lee to flip out.
Oh, wow. The Protestants and Catholics got together. They piece of Westphalia'd that. Oh no.
We said we're gonna forget about those 95 theses for a second.
Yeah.
Because we have a greater enemy.
That's wrong.
It's
Christianity.
There's two. There's two things.
I love Mormons.
Sure. Yeah.
I actually do love Mormons.
That's great.
I think they're better.
many things are better than myself.
Yeah.
But
you loathsome worm.
We already did this.
Pile of sludge.
I can't hear this in the middle of the night and during our podcast taping.
You rotting pile of matter.
Man, just you wait till you run for office, yeah, and I can describe my emotionally fraught relationship with you. Or more,
would you
wrenching.
Call it wrenching?
Yeah, I would.
Would
call
you
it
call this wrenching?
Yeah, but I would. I was, of course, referring to the time I helped you change a tire, though. And the New York Times doesn't, you know, we bonded over that and they recorded it as emotionally wrenching.
Like, regular reason readers and viewers know I don't know how to change a tire and never will learn.
Well, that's why
and
I
would,
was...
of course, call on you for any assistance in that regard.
But no. So I found this interesting, the Mormon Christian divide. It's for two reasons. One is it provoked a lot of, much of it, not particularly substantive, theological back and forth on X between Mormons asserting that they're Christians and then various other Christians telling them that they're not. Mm. The Catholic Church's view is that Mormons are not Christian.
Oh.
At a minimum, it doesn't...
News to me.
Yeah. Did you not know that?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, so the Catholic Church will recognizes the baptisms of a bunch of other... basically of all other what it considers Christians, right?
Right.
But because Mormons, among their many heresies, are not... they don't believe in the Trinity... we don't accept their baptisms as valid. Mm-hmm. And so the church wouldn't consider them Christians. But that's not really...
They got no Holy Spirit?
What's that?
They got no Holy Spirit?
I think what it is, as it's been described to me by Mormons critics on X.com, is that they believe God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all three separate beings. And God the Father used to be a human that then became a... That could all be wrong, though.
Okay.
Again, I'm just relying on...
Okay. We're just saying things that aren't true.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But, well, yeah. I mean, Mormons can't complain about that.
Wow!
No, I'm sorry,
wow.
I'm sorry.
The arch-Catholic is coming... Well, religion is all a lie, so there.
Oh,
that.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Enjoy hell.
I'll stand up for that one blue-haired they-them Wiccan person who was really serious about his faith. This is all lies anyway, so...
Yeah.
There.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... But it is interesting... So what the way the DoD fixed it was like, oh, we actually don't have to label denominations Christian or not, right?
Sure.
This actually is kind of superfluous for the point of the list, right? It's just like determining who needs their own separate pastors or clergy, right? So that was part of it. So it's been fixed, right? The policy issue. But it is fascinating in a way where, did you ever read the book? Do you know who Jacob Levy is?
Yeah.
The Scannon guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't...
Not a big fan. Personally.
No. I don't care for much of his modern political commentary, which is all a little TDS-y.
Yes.
But he did write a
he's criticized me a lot, which
should
be illegal.
And
will be one day, hopefully.
Really, really unfairly, and I'm sorry for retweeting it approvingly. But he wrote a really good book called Pluralism, what's it called? Rationalism, Pluralism and Liberalism, right? About basically like...
What about autism?
Oh, man.
You're going to read books. I don't know.
Yeah, I would have loved that for like one of the blurbs on the dust jacket. All the blurbs are just mildly insulting.
We're being really offensive today to people.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
How dare
autists,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. First Mormons, now.
Yeah. Now autists.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really our listener base too. So
we can't offend the base.
Hey,
we love you.
The best artists ultimately come to despise their audiences, right?
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not us though. We're too real. We keep it real.
We love everyone.
We're real maxing.
That's
we're audience maxing.
We're audience love maxing. Yeah.
Okay, tell me about this dumb book.
Okay. Sorry. Please, stick around on Twitter while I explain to the listeners.
Okay.
But basically, like, one of the theses of the book is that you can never really have full separation of church and state, because if you have the state having to decide the legal rights of groups and individuals, eventually at some point it's going to be called on to make like doctrinal calls in order to sort out these disputes. And the Mormon Christian one in the DoD was... made me think about that. It's all like they were able to resolve it by just saying we're not going to say who's Christian and who's not, right? But the Wiccan thing is actually a little more interesting, right? Where at some point, I guess, you know, in order to protect freedom of religion, exercise, whatever, you have to provide people with clergy and pastors or whatever. But surely there's some religious accommodation request that we're going to eventually say,
yes,
completely ridiculous.
I think this
right?
is an interesting thought experiment or not a conflict, but just how do you, what framework is the best safeguard of rights from a libertarian perspective, yeah. actually? Mm-hmm. I've thought about this in the context of the, or, you know, the cake baking case or mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. Where the same-sex couple wants a cake for their wedding. And don't look at me like that. And the person is religious, so they don't want to, you know, mm-hmm. make a cake that's, but, and then it gets so specific, like, well, they have to make them a cake.
Yeah.
But they don't have to make a cake that says, I love you, happy wedding, you know.
Right, right.
But, and then right. it's, and then do you defend it on, well, it's First Amendment protected activity because mm-hmm. it's creative. And mm-hmm. so it's speech because the making of the cake is creative and mm-hmm. the, which is what they ended up going with.
Right.
But, which I'm fine with that.
That was their argument, but that wasn't the reason the decision came down the way
right.
it did, right?
The decision was like, well, so that I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
Like
sorry.
Speech, and again, I'm fine with this because this generally constrains the government from doing things. Mm-hmm. And the more activities that are considered speech, mm-hmm. the more libertarians win, mm-hmm. and we just stop the government from yep. doing anything. Mm-hmm. The First Amendment is so robustly protected, thank God. Mm-hmm. That's where we end up getting most of our rights protected. Mm-hmm. Spending on campaign finance reform gets thrown out on speech grounds. Mm-hmm. This we're making speech-based arguments, but at some point you do have to say some human activity is not what counts as speech.
Right.
Starts to get fraught, or else we're in an anarchist society that could be governed. Like,
yeah.
right, is not paying taxes my speech right? Is
because there's some expressive element to me not paying taxes, right?
That starts mm-hmm. to get very mm-hmm. hard to draw lines between. Mm-hmm. Like, right, the baker is speech, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. But whereas just saying it's a religious practice of mm-hmm. an established religion, and yeah. is more clear cut. Mm-hmm. But then you get to like the Wiccan case.
So this is.
I'd still say it's more clear cut than the speech expression thing because like we kind of know what's a religion and what's not. But if you make one up, how many followers do you have to get before it's past the government has to say, okay, you're a Jedi. You have the Church of Jedi. It gets accommodate. I don't know.
I would say 12 followers.
12 followers.
I don't know where I came up with that one.
Yeah.
But no, I think the DOD, you know, does the DOD have to provide a Wiccan pastor is actually probably more difficult mm-hmm. from a policy perspective, right? Because we would just say, you shouldn't be required to serve someone if you don't want to. Transactions right. are voluntary.
Sure.
You don't want to make a gay wedding cake sure. for a couple. You don't want to make yeah. a straight wedding cake.
Yeah.
You don't want to make an ice cream cake because yeah. it'll melt. You don't have to, right? but here's a case where the government has assigned itself. We're always going to have a military, right? It seems reasonable that the military would then provide for, you know, pastors for people or, you know, clergy for, you know, the troops, right? Because mm-hmm. They're requiring them to be places, right? Where maybe there's not a church or whatever. So it's providing them some positive benefit and now has to do that indiscriminately, right? But there are also, and so, but there's...
viewpoint neutrality.
Right, but then if around. You make any sort of outer bounds on what you're actually willing to provide, then I think you get into viewpoint discrimination pretty quickly because at some point you're going to be like, well, that's more ridiculous than this, right?
We're really going down some hard calls here. You know, what about the Sikh students?
Mm-hmm.
They can carry a knife, but no other student can carry a knife in the
right,
public school.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that, frankly. I want to validate people's religious rights, but more so than their religious rights, I just want to protect individual rights, period.
And the inequality is frustrating.
Right. Especially inequality of rights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should be, if some students can be allowed to carry knives, shouldn't all students be allowed mm-hmm. to carry knives or
yeah.
no students?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, you can have it because it's a religious accommodation, but then maybe the exercise of this right matters to more people. Matters to people more if it's a religious thing. It gets a little thorny.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know what my answer would be.
Two thoughts, right? So one, when it just comes to like whether you should make religious accommodations or not, my general view is that if you're willing to make a religious accommodation, then you just shouldn't have the restriction of that practice,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty
the
knives
one probably fails that. Test, right?
Yeah. I mean, the flip side of it would be there's such a compelling And this is how the Supreme Court has decided, like, whether you can, you know, Native Americans can do mushrooms or whatever else, right? It's like,
we should all be able to do mushrooms, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Regardless of if you're doing it for whatever religious motivation or not, right?
Right. We should all be able to put on our little feathers and, and you know, just jump around with the, we should all be able to do that no matter how insensitive it is, right?
Yes, and I should be allowed to deny making you an ice cream cake.
Yes.
Even if you come into my store dressed
that way. Dressed as one of the village people, which I might.
Mm, oh, dear.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Just make it the motorcyclist.
Yeah.
So my general view is, like, if you are willing to make a religious exception, you should just allow everyone to opt out from a policy. Again, it gets more difficult when the government is affirmatively providing some service and then then has to do it in a viewpoint neutral way. But then maybe the solution is just, like, I don't know. I don't know if that would be better for anyone, but just don't provide it at all. Right. I guess the military could say, we're not going to provide clergy or priests. And if you're particularly religiously motivated, you have to make some private arrangement on your own. I don't know. It would be a lot easier if the military were smaller and people weren't deployed to foreign countries and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But even so,
it would be better if they weren't foreign war maxing. Yeah. Yeah. Ground invasion maxing. Regime change maxing.
Yeah. Then they could be pew maxing and church maxing.
Yeah.
Mass maxing.
Yeah.
Mass maxing. There we go. Yeah. Mormon maxing. Yeah.
I believe I remember a case from Michigan from when I was a kid of a judge who it was a Muslim religious accommodation, something to the effect of the person needs to remove their head covering because it's for identification. You know, is that the person who was in the convenience? I don't remember the exact circumstance, but you can't identify him properly unless you can see without or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't remember how that was decided. And it's interesting.
So. And that's the thing is, like, in the practical matter, like, the fact of the case is, like, we're not going to just get rid of a policy if it requires religious exemptions, right? And so what you're left with then is...
But deeply unsatisfying.
You just make the compromise and make the religious exemptions, right? Because the solution otherwise is everyone has to fall in line with a uniform policy, even if it violates some more fundamental view. Yeah, this always pisses me off about the... I know libertarians love these guys because they're like free speech activists or whatever, but the Church of Satan, right? Which I find just like a ridiculous and tiresome exercise.
Man, you are leading your very own Inquisition today. Yet it does move. So take that. We're orbit maxing.
Orbit maxing.
And I don't care what you think about it.
Yeah. No, I Earth is the center of the universe. I haven't
Burn me at the stake, why don't
you? All
these
Copernicuses around me, orbiting around me.
Okay, Simplicio.
Shut the fuck up. But it's like, you know, they give the, you know, some after school space to the Christian Bible group. And then the Satanists, of course, have to be like, well, we're a religion, too. It's like, no, you're not. You're just trolling. Right.
Right.
You don't actually have any severe, like, sincere convictions.
Right.
It just kind of ruins it for everyone.
Right.
But, yeah. This is why I do kind of wish, just between you and me, like some sort of like.
Just us.
Yeah. There's
nobody else.
The most libertarian possible of. Like theocracies, I think would be, and democratic would be good. Just so you could make some of the, just a couple of these calls on the margins, where like your Church of the Giant Spaghetti Monster is made up. It is ridiculous, and so therefore, no, we're not going to reserve the rec room for you. That's all I want. Everyone else can do what they want. They can build, you know, whatever, you know, statues or idols or whatever you want to do. You know, the military will give most people the clergy, but.
Well, when that day comes, I'll be standing in your way. You'll have to have a epic Star Wars type battle to see if that church gets rights, I guess.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
What else? What else we got?
Yeah, something, maybe something a little lighter.
All right. Speaking of something that should be denied rights, I started watching the first 20 minutes of like the Wuthering Heights movie last night. Do you remember that one?
I didn't watch it. No. And I haven't read the book either.
And the whole project should be condemned.
Wow.
And it was appalling and an affront to Emily Bronte's fantastic work. It deleted half the characters. It's just an excuse to have Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi screwing like rabbits. The whole point is in the book is that they're not ever able to fulfill their passions. Deeply offensive. Hate.
I always forget your enthusiasm for like 19th century British literature.
I'm a fan. I was a huge fan of Wuthering Heights, one of my favorite books. I read it in high school, loved it at the time. Love it to this day.
This is embarrassing because I know it's a classic of literature, but like, give me the download.
It's hard to explain what distinguishes it. It's, you know, of the Victorian era. Mm-hmm. It is very.
It's like is it a Jane Austen type romance?
Well, it's almost an anti-romance because it is dripping with so much hate and abuse. And it is emotionally wrenching. They are in emotionally wrenching relationships. It is odd for the time when there was a lot of, oh, yes, I would love to marry so-and-so, but what about my dowry? Kind of what you think of Jane Austen to be people who are like, you are shredding my soul and I will destroy you to the... A lot of, it's kind of it has a gothic feeling to it, even though there's nothing supernatural in it. Mm-hmm. It's just very moody and atmospheric as well. The environment is good. Mm. Awful characters mistreating each other and becoming miserable because of it. Mm. But then maybe the second generation, because there's a second generation of characters, of course they don't make it into this movie, who then maybe can redeem the initial awful characters by learning to be
sins
less emotionally wrenching toward each other.
Yeah, yes. A little bit of generational progress.
Yeah, it's a little bit about, everything's about generational trauma. That's people's favorite phrase these days, speaking of looks maxing and whatever stupid language.
Generational trauma maxing.
For generational trauma maxing, yeah. There are generational trauma maxing in Wuthering Heights, but they are maybe doing something people never do when they're grappling with their trauma in therapy or whatever, actually fucking overcoming it. Something that's never happened in the course of that kind of thing.
Considering that maybe they too were at fault. No,
yeah.
I would never, not that. Therapeutic situation.
Yeah.
But the movie was not.
There's actually a great movie. If you don't want to read a book because you're so, well, you've read, you just can't get Jacob Levy's book out of your fucking hands.
I recommend Rationalism, Pluralism, and Liberalism.
I have a bias against him.
I understand he's a... Yeah. I'm on your side in your disputes with him, but it is a good book. I would recommend it.
You should watch the... there's like a TV miniseries one where guess who plays... Heathcliff is the main character. Mm-hmm. A great literary character. Guess who plays him?
I don't know. Who?
Is this any sort
of Hardy
to
Tom
you?
Hardy. Wow.
And he is great.
Yeah.
He is perfect. He nails the character perfectly.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check it out. What is that?
I don't know. Find it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I guess I'll Google it.
Fine. I had some other things that I watched a lot of things in the last couple. I finished a lot of things. I finished Euphoria season 3. It was, speaking of Jacob Elordi things, you haven't watched any of these things. It is too much sex and violence for you, but you might like it because it has a religious message.
Yeah.
I actually do read the final season as an embrace and an endorsement of religion as it's about people seeking meaning in life and, they seek it in Sydney Sweeney and Zendaya and the characters had just these awful lives of sex and drugs and abuse and violence. And they all become entangled with organized crime this season in different ways, from the mafia to cartels, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It all comes to horrible ruin, lots of death, misery. Yeah. But there's a religious message because Zendaya finds some amount of actual genuine solace in religion. And the character who guides her on that journey is positioned in a very pivotal way in the finale. Mm-hmm. And it's religious in orientation.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is interesting to me.
Do I have to watch the like first couple?
You shouldn't
seasons
watch it at all. Yeah. I don't know how much you'd actually like it.
Is it of high quality? Even
yes.
if I would like it. Okay.
It's of high quality.
Okay.
It's also smut.
Yeah,
it's sure. High quality smut from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. It's just an excuse for having Sydney Sweeney in the most ridiculous. Her character starts in OnlyFans. This, if you've ever heard of what that is, you've acquainted yourself. It's
there. Our OnlyFans is in our comments right now.
Oh, that's good.
Still got it. Still got
that's
it.
That's good. Yeah. So
the three of us are laughing.
I give it like a C plus. The first two seasons. I give the first two seasons like A minus and A. I really like them.
Okay.
This one not as good.
But. Hey, look, I'm no opponent of high quality smut. I really like White Lotus. You know.
Yes.
I mean, the
that is of higher quality than Euphoria. Okay. I would say.
I guess so. I've only seen seasons 2 and 3 of White Lotus.
Right.
Number 2 is a little less smutty. Number 3 is pretty darn smutty.
I actually do recommend you watch one. Was my favorite of the three.
People were just telling me I didn't have a huge amount of interest in it. A, because the setting of just Hawaii didn't sound as interesting, and then 2, the theme is like income inequality or whatever, right? Like
1 skewers wokeness
pretty
well. Actually, again, it's Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
And her character is so despicable.
Yeah.
I don't know how to read it other than like a criticism of woke liberal college females or something.
But I found that the second one was actually pretty ultimately conservative in message too, I thought. The third one definitely the weaker of the two that I've seen, even though I did still quite enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, I think it leaned a little more into like the like wealth porny aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then was just so freaking slow on some storylines that really just never quite popped, you know?
I agree with that. I wasn't quite sure what they were trying to pull off with the third. It didn't come together as cohesively.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it's a good show though.
Mm-hmm.
Excited
very
to
good.
See.
Yeah, there. When is the fourth one coming out?
I think it's
going
to be in France or something.
It's going to be They're setting it at the Cannes,
or Switzerland or
no? They're setting it at the Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes.
Yeah, Cannes. Yeah. Is that you don't say the S?
No, you don't say the S.
It's French, you know. Damn. All right. Send me off to the guillotine.
Squirrely.
Yeah. Well, save some letters for the rest of us if you're not even going to use them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting choice. We'll see how it works out.
Speaking of strange foreign places.
Okay.
I will be away next week. You know where I'm going.
Where are you
going
to be? Well, you're going to Delaware tomorrow, right?
I am going to Delaware tomorrow. But next week, I'm going to Ukraine.
Oh, that's right. For your little junket.
Yep.
Right?
I'm going to go learn about Ukraine and... that's really it. But,
see what some of our tax dollars are going to over there.
We'll all track that down.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Nick, you can be the next Nick Shirley.
Can you imagine with one of those, like the screenshot on the video, just pointing at the Ukrainians like.
Right, yeah.
The way
the
Wojak.
Yeah. Right. Sure. That's enough. All right. Well, give us a little more background. What is the purpose of the trip? What are you doing there?
It's really just to learn about Ukraine. A pro-Ukrainian organization brings me and some other journalists over just to see the situation. Mm-hmm. And, after I'm back, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand what I'm getting into. But the point is to learn about the state of the conflict in Ukraine. I don't know a lot. Yeah, I don't travel that much internationally, honestly. So I'll just be excited to see, eat cuisine from a different country, see, learn about a different culture. I'm being a tourist, really. Journalistic, touristy thing.
I wonder how many guest hosts we're going to get through before we realize you have, in fact, just been impressed into the Ukrainian army.
hope not. Hope that doesn't occur. I do expect to be coming back. So you haven't gotten rid of me yet.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Soon. Yeah. Soon. Send you on some Russian junket, you know, see the other side of it.
Tucker and Candace and all those people are clearly on some kind of Russian junket. I'm not saying no.
Yeah. Oh, see the little escalator for the shopping carts.
That's
you don't
fine.
Have those you do have them here in America, but.
Our escalators are never working.
Yeah, that's true. But those are the ones run by the government.
Yeah.
The little Target, you know, you go to the Target in Columbia Heights, they have the...
I just went to a Trader Joe's this weekend and the escalator was not working.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes
it's like the printer.
Yeah.
Printers are never working. Escalators are never working.
There was this is a total audible, but I saw some guys. I'll pull it up. Actually, they were complaining. Contractors, building contractors, were complaining about elevator repairmen, and just how it's all a racket and they're all terrible at their jobs. All the elevator contractors. But one of them said it was like choosing an elevator contractor is like choosing your own STD. This is pretty funny, but yeah, it's a tough one. I guess so long as it still goes up and down, you know.
Yeah, that's what they say about the
oh yeah. About course, I was talking about the escalator. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember? So in the old Reason office, you know, we've been at this place for a little while in the Take Mines.
Some STDs may have been spread there. Is that what you're getting?
No, not pointing any fingers because that would be dangerous.
Yeah.
But we were constantly having problems with our escalator or elevator in the old office.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
And I will never forget this moment. It was quite existential, really.
Yeah.
I put a sign on the elevator because what would happen is you'd get in it and then you would get stuck and you'd just be in,
it was very back rooms.
Yes. Okay, sure. From what you
described, an elevator that goes nowhere, right? That can't be fixed.
Right. So in order to prevent this terrible fate befalling people, I put a sign on the elevator saying the elevator is broken.
Yes.
Then we get the elevator repairman over to the office and he looks at the sign. He says, oh, here's your problem. You taped it to the doors. And so the doors won't open now.
Yes.
And I had to inform him that do you not think that maybe the elevator was broken before I put the elevator is broken sign on there?
Yeah.
So yeah,
very backrooms experience.
This is the caliber of people you're dealing with.
And you slipped slowly into madness on that day and have never fully recovered.
I sometimes still believe that I am in the elevator.
Yes.
Yeah.
An elevator going nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even going down.
No.
Yeah.
Just
truly
stuck
true
in
purgatory.
Place.
True purgatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is definitely real.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully, yeah. Good luck. You'll end up there.
Let's end there. I got another radio hit to get to. So
okay,
I think we'll
jet out of here.
We'll
so quickly.
Shut it down. Yeah.
Okay, very well.
See you guys next time. Bye bye.